Okay, good morning, everyone. It is crunch time. Less than a week to go. Less than a week to go, guys, till Pesach. It's very exciting. The Geula is literally in the air. Let's begin five additional thoughts. We began, part one was on Thursday, part two today on five thoughts on the Pesach Seder. We'll begin with Mendy's question from last week. Madua im varchem aleihem birchas mitzvah. Why is there no birchas mitzvah on the dalkosos? We even make a bracha on maror. Asher kedeshanu tzavanu al achilas maror. Maror gets a bracha. Matzah gets a bracha. I understand, right? But halo doesn't get a bracha. Hope everyone learned that one on Shabbos. But the dalkosos doesn't get a bracha. Why no bracha on the four cups of wine? Two answers. The Rishonim here is the Or Chaim of the Rush and the Avudraham. Tirtzu, Sheim Evarchim Aleim, Hoil Ve'eno Shosa Osam Bavas Achas. See, the mitzvah, actually, this is just like one of the answers that's brought up, why there's no bracha on halal. Why is there no bracha on halal? Because halal is split into two paragraphs, and then four paragraphs. So each cup of wine that you drink is not an independent mitzvah. It's part of a mitzvah. It's a quarter of a mitzvah. And therefore, you're not yotzei your mitzvah until you drink all four cups of wine. It's one. What? Why do you make a berakah in each one? Great. That happens to be a machlokes between the Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. What? They do two because that is a question intrinsically about hefsek brachos. When there's a hesek hadas, the hefsek in the middle of something, do you make a new bracha? There's some contradictions within the Seder regarding this issue, because on the one hand, we say, before you eat karpas, what do we say? Have in mind that this covers your maritsu. And you don't make a hadama on the maror, no matter what. So there, the issue is, because maybe the maror, you shouldn't make a bracha at all on the maror. Because the bracha is in the middle of the meal. It's already after you had your motzi matzah, after you had your matzah. So maybe there you don't have to, right? As opposed to here, where the wine is always independent. Whether you have a meal, you don't have a meal, you're always making berakah on the wine. So that's that question. But this is an independent unit on its own. It's not an independent unit. It's a set. It's a set that has to happen at certain times. The Gemara says, let's say a guy says, you know what? Forget about this. I'll just have four cups of wine right now. One after another after another. Or I'll take all four cups of wine and I'll pour them into a big cup, a bottle, and I'll drink them all. That is not effective. The Gemara in Pesachim writes, that is not effective. What? You definitely won't. I mean, you'll finish your Seder way earlier than Chatzos. Yes, yes, yes. So that is answer number one about why no bracha for the Dalkosos. Answer number two also comes to the Avudraham. He writes, Sh'em evarchem al arba kosos m'nei shekoza kiddush hu mitzuva v'omed alav k'din kiddush al kol yom tov lo nikar shunitkan avur bracha zu. The first bracha you have to do anyway. The first bracha of Kiddush, we need to do because it is Kiddush. Kiddush Yontif and Kiddush and Shabbos. This year, Kiddush is covering both. It's Shabbos, the Yom Tov. What, David? Very good. So David made a very good point. I'll get to that in a second. So David said, it's like matzah. When it comes to matzah, you have to eat this motzi matzah and motzi lachem in the aretz. So since the first time you're making the bracha is really part of Kiddush, so it's not necessarily for intrinsically, it happens to be also for dalakosos. Therefore, it gets assumed under that and you do not make a bracha on it. It's like in disguise that it's also coming as part of the dalakosos. Therefore, no bracha is required. Chaim Kanievsky had a chumrah from his uncle, the Chazanish. It's in his Haggadah, where he was concerned about the following issue. We're talking about Hefsek, right? So you begin your meal with Kadesh, and then you're not having your matzah until, you know, later on. How long? You'll discuss afterwards.
It's more than 72 minutes.
It's more than 72 minutes.
So therefore,
yeah.
Follow the lines of learn before, like on Shabbos. Oh. From Kiddush until you wash has to be less than 72 minutes.
Right, so that's so. What Milti's saying is a very big problem halachically, right? So you could say, okay, Leil HaSeder, the Chazal, it's this idea of having your Kiddush Makom Suda is a concept midrabanan, right? Either it's that's the simplest understanding of it, and the rabbis never made this takana on Leil HaSeder. That's the easiest way to get out of this conundrum.
I have another idea.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why not make a Kiddush right before?
We actually do. The second cup of wine.
Not the first one. Why do we have to make Kiddush in the beginning? We're not eating yet. We do all the learning we want. That's why
go ahead.
Show the left. We do this. You can do spirals, tell stories, and talk about it's yes, it's right. And then make Kiddush.
Yikadesh miyad. Make the so the Shulchan Aruch says you got to make Kiddush right away. No Russian. Because that is the start of the meal. That is we can get into other like I would say not fancier but more creative ideas. But that's what it starts. It starts with Kiddush. So now Rechaim Kanievsky was concerned about Milti's concern. So what he does and David's concerned too. So he says the following. There's one opinion in the Gaonim. The Gaonim say, let's say you don't have bread at the table. You have no bread. You can't find any bread or matzah. How do you fulfill your suda? Have a revius of wine. Have an extra revius of wine. So what Chaim Kanievsky would do is that he would have one revius of wine for Kadesh, 3.2, 5.1, whatever.
And Kanievsky, all the shalom, was a grandson of a famous also. Famous.
All good. So the Rav Chaim would have a second cup of Revius for the same, for to fulfill, like that's my Suda. So the two Reviuses, you drink the whole cup of wine. It's ideal, if you can, to have a smaller cup that's a massive Revius and drink the whole cup as opposed to having a bigger one that, and you drink less from it. So he would have two Reviuses in the beginning to cover this opinion to alleviate the issue of Kiddush Malkum Suda over here. Okay, so we see number one, Kiddush and Dalakosis is one unit, or maybe you should make a bracha, but since when we begin, it's with Kiddush, then we don't make that bracha. Do we say Shalom Aleichem this Friday night? No, yes, no?
I don't think so.
Why not? It's Friday night. So beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Magid begins with Halach Ma'anya. Halach Ma'anya is recited in what language? Aramaic. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that we should daven in Hebrew. Technically, you could daven in English. You don't understand the Hebrew. We should daven in Hebrew because that is a language that the Malachim understands. They understand Hebrew and intermediate, whatever, however you want to say, understand that. But God understands every language, so even Aramaic. So we begin the Seder, the Vilna Gaon writes this, we begin the Seder in Aramaic on purpose to show, who's running the show? Hashem, Ani V'lo Malach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. There was no intermediary at the Seder. In fact, Moshe's name is not mentioned because it's not about Moshe at the Seder. Maybe his name is thrown in there somewhere, maybe, depending on which Haggadah you have. Maybe his name is there, maybe it's not. But ultimately, it's all about the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu at the Seder. Therefore, some say, and I think it's a beautiful idea, and you could talk about this, we specifically do not say Shalom Aleichem because we're not welcoming in the angels to our Seder when the Seder falls out on Friday night. It's not about them. But I will suggest to sing Eishes Chayim. right? Eish Chayil should be sung. We spoke about, you know, Bishul Nashim Tikanios, Nigalu. He spoke. What? 100%. The truth is, actually, David asked a good question. It's Miros. So there, many rebbes, what they would do is that they would sing the Zmiros at Shulchan Aruch. So I think it is a nice idea to sing one or two Shabbos Zmiros at Shulchan Aruch.
Why not?
Exactly. Yeah. Don't talk politics. It's a good idea. You know, bring in Kol Mekadesh, Menucha V'Simcha. It could be, you know, very, very nice.
Why do some people have a minute on any Yom Kippur to say Shulchan? So, even the reason here, it doesn't work at any other place. Some people haven't been in the six shelter.
Right. That's what we say. The angels are already here. That's usually what we say. That the angels are already here, therefore, you don't say it. Aramina, because we don't say it. And I usually do say, you know, Eish Chayil, regardless of what Friday night of the year it is. I usually do say it no matter what. Okay, moving right along to Yachatz. Yachatz, we split the middle matzah into two. We take the smaller part and we keep it with us. The bigger part is placed for Afikomen, and we hide the Afikomen. So,
is there a reason why bigger versus smaller?
Bigger versus the smaller. Sfas Emes says, and Rav Cook elaborated on this, is that the bigger piece represents the geula, the future redemption. And what we're signifying right now is that while things look small right now, and maybe we don't even see the bigger part of the picture, and the best is yet to come. The Navi Yirmiyahu writes that the future geula, the miracles that happen then are going to overshadow the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The truth is, that's why there's a discussion about Ben Zoma and Rabbi Lazar Ben Azariah. Do we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim in Yemos HaMashiach? What's the question? Why shouldn't we? Why is the whole Shaila? Because of this Navi in Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, and his Agada, he writes about this, that in the Navi, Yirmiyahu writes explicitly that it's going to pale in comparison. Therefore, maybe we don't want to be motzilas. We don't want to say anything negative about the miracles that happened in Mitzrayim. That's part of that discussion, the machlokas, between Ben Zoma and the Chachamim over there. So that's Yachatz. So we break the middle matzah into two. So why do we break the matzah at all? So, good. Excellent. So Milti is a halachic man. And the halachic man says it's to show lechem oni, poor man's bread. Unfortunately, poor people do not have always the opportunity to have full pieces of bread. Therefore, they have to, all they have is broken pieces. So to fulfill the Torah's idea of lechem oni, we break it in half.
So why not use, why then not use whole boxes?
Oh, why don't you use shvarim so you can... If you go to Shatz or Matzah and all these other places, you can buy shvarim. You can buy broken pieces already.
Right.
Right. So why don't we just skip this piece?
Why are we so matzah to make sure that we have whole matzahs?
And then break it in half. Right. Yeah. I think this is
somebody who made to show when he actually made motzi for. Mozi
Matzah. Yeah.
He actually used a whole matzah and one broken matzah.
Now he used two matzahs. It's two matzahs, not broken. The only two was that he wanted to make sure that he had one less ammonia.
Yeah,
So when they made the broken, they only had a matzah and a half.
Matzah and a half left.
Yeah, but they didn't have a broken to start. They had two whole matzahs. The Rambam
started that way, but then they broke.
It was a machlokas, a Rambam, and everyone else. The Rambam's minhag was to only have two matzahs at this. There's nowhere in, it doesn't say this anywhere in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't talk about it. The Pesukim obviously don't talk about it. How many matzahs are you supposed to have at your Seder? So, does anyone have two? No.
Yes.
You have two? Your brother-in-law has two. The Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon followed the Rambam. You have two. But everyone else, most people, have three. But the Vilna, it was from the Rambam. The Rambam had two. Because he says, what do you mean? Why is this different than any other day? It should be the same. Shabbos, you have two. Yontif, you have two. It's Yontif meal. You have two. And you break one. And that makes sense. Lechemon, you have 1.5 matzahs. That's what you should be dealing with. So we try to accommodate everything. When you make the bracha of Mosi Lechem in Aretz, you hold the two whole ones. When you make the bracha of Alechias Matzah, you hold the 1.5 ones. And this way, I always have to remind myself, I always have to read. I always make sure I have like a Haggadah that has all the good guidelines in there. Because there's so many other things going on at the Seder that you want to make sure everything is done right. So Yachas, you break the middle matzah. We gave a halachic reason why it's done, and we went to fill the goat in the Rambam. The Das Akein Mivali Tosos writes that we break the middle matzah to remember Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf. You're breaking, right? Just like the sea. And I think, Milti, also on your idea, we do a lot of things at the Seder to keep the kids involved and awake. And we keep them like, you know, already here. Three steps in. Kadesh, Orchatz, Sarkarpas, Yachatz. 4 steps in and we're having the kids like on a hunt to find my matzah. Because we understand that the attention span is limited and we want to keep kids excited and involved, and this is part of doing that. I definitely agree with that. I definitely agree. We have a good schedule. Nope, you check the schedule. So reason number three, this is from a Haggadah written by Rav Ari Marcus. Rav Ari Marcus is Rosh Shiva at Reshit. It was written several years ago. It's great. And in this Haggadah, this is based on his shiurim, like the 2 weeks before the boys go back home, he gives a Haggadah shiur. And all of his notes he put into a really, really beautiful Haggadah. There's a lot of great colors in here and different topics. And excellent, really excellent. He quotes the Machzor Vitri. The Machzor Vitri is an early Rishon who writes that the three matzahs represent the following. They represent when a Kohen had his first day on the job, right? What did a Kohen need to do when he first started working in the Beis HaMikdash? He needed to bring something called a Minchas Chinuch. We know the Sefer called Minchas Chinuch, right? So that idea, that Sefer, came from this concept called Minchas Chinuch, which is a flower offering that represented his induction into the service in the Beis HaMikdash.
First time he ever served, or first time each year?
The first time ever. Now, that is an anniversary, but the first time ever. First time ever. So he brings this offering, and it has 3 matzahs as part of it. And he needs to crumble. Part of it is the crumble, part of the matzah. He would crumble his initiation offering. So he quotes, so now take this idea, and now the Machzor Vitri says it very nicely. So he quotes Rav Rafal Moshe Lurian, who explains this on a deeper level. Really, Leil HaSeder represents our initiation into the fold, into Klal Yisrael. We became a nation at Leil HaSeder, performing our first mitzvah together ever, which was Korban Pesach. The Bris Milah preceded that. And us leaving Egypt is us being crystallized and formed as a nation. So we specifically have 3 matzahs to represent the Minchas Chinuch that was brought then, because we are all Mamlachas Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh, right? And you crumble it a little bit, and that is the representation of this mitzvah that we are all doing together. It's a beautiful, beautiful thought from Yachatz. We move on. We mentioned the idea about Halach Ma'anya already. Oh, why is it called Leil HaSeder? The truth is, even though we have a Seder to the Seder, and there are 15, and it's fascinating that this is like, the Seder doesn't begin with Kiddush. The Seder begins by singing Kadesh Orchatz or Kadesh Orchatz Karpasi. That's a newer tune. So, which we sing both. It's good. But it's kind of funny that we begin by singing what we're going to do. When a contractor builds a house, he doesn't, before we start the foundation, let's like sing or let's like say all of the, right? That's how it works. And the Seder itself, as we discussed on Shabbos, is anything but, you don't know where you're going to land, right? We can prepare the Divrei Torah now, and it's beautiful, it's wonderful. Are we going to say it? Are we going to say the Yachatz Dvar Torah in the Yachatz spot? Or it's going to come up later in Seulamat. Who knows? And this one's going to spill, and that one's going to... Things are going to happen. But why is it called Leil HaSeder? Leil HaSeder. So he writes here, Rav Druk writes the following. So number one is simple, quotes the Kolbo, because everything has its order. You should do things in a specific order. Everything needs to go, you have to have the karpas before the yachatz, and then you got to start the magid, and the magid has an order, and it's got to be masal b'gnus, misayim b'shevach, and everything has a formula to it. You have to eat this matzah then, and you have to eat the afikom before chetzos, this part of halal now, and the other part of halal later. Things need to have a specific order. Obviously, if some one or two things get out of it, that's probably okay, you know, depending on what it is. But more or less, there's an order, a seder hanim. That's the simplest understanding. The Maharal takes this one step further. And the Maharal says that this shows us how God behaved towards us. We in Egypt, as slaves serving for over 200 years, were curious, is there any normalcy to my life? Is there any plan up there? Is there a God in the world that knows what's going on over here? And really, right, and we can have, those are very real questions that we as slaves in Egypt could be asking. It seems like everything is just happening to us, and there's nothing that we can do to control this. And the Maharal says, you see, that really, the Aser Makos, us leaving Egypt, that there was a Seder going on behind the scenes. So just like we are, and he says this is like a deeper message here, just like we're performing the Seder, we're doing something very Mesudar, that's reflecting that God also has the plan, has a Seder in Shamayim to move things and move history along as well. We rarely can see behind the curtain, but it's our, right? This is our way of showing and reflecting what HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is always doing, even if we can't see it. Okay. That is answer number two, why it's called Leil HaSeder. And the third, I like this answer a lot. The third one. And then I thought, I was like, I'd never seen this before. It's brand new. And then I opened up another Haggadah. I had it underlined in a different Haggadah. So I saw it in one. I'm too young. I know. I saw that in Rav Avram Shor's Haggadah also, Alecha Falipa. He's a Rav in Brooklyn on Avenue L and East 15th. And he's a son of Rav Gedalia Shor. So they both say, Rav Druk and him both say, is that there are four ways to learn the Torah. We call it Pardes. Everyone know what Pardes stands for? Pshat, simple understanding. Remez, hints. Dalet is drash, and samech is sod, the Kabbalah, the secrets. So there are four ways that we learn Torah. Symbolically, we had four rabbis that entered the Pardes. The Gemara tells us a story about Rabbi Kiva, Ben Zoma, Ben Azai, and Elisha, Ben Abuya, who went into the Pardes. Literally means the orchard, but it represents the mystical spheres, which represents the pshat, remez, drash, and sod, of interpreting the Torah on every level. So Rav Druk says here is that while we are focused on the pshat of the night, right, we need to go deeper. And that's hinted to in the word Seder. Sod, drash, remez. right? That just like the Jewish people, nothing was as they always saw it, right? There was something going on behind the scenes. So to us, we need to dig deeper into the Haggadah. Truth is, we do that, right? There are gematrias here in the Haggadah itself, the Haggadah mentions. There's drushos that are mentioned. That's Seulamad. Those are drushos. That's drash. Everything. And then the sod comes out as well. So that is a deeper meaning of the word Leil HaSeder. In the middle of the Haggadah, we mentioned Rav Druk, right, Marcus. We had the Rishonim. We didn't get to Rabbi Frand yet. And we will get to the following. Let's go to Rabbi Frand first. Yochel Mei Rosh Chodesh. So one of my daughters had to do a project, and every child in the class needed to prepare one Dvar Torah on one part of the Haggadah. They had to make a PowerPoint, and then the girls wrote it down. This way they end up with like a 20 Divrei Torah from everyone in the class. So my daughter's Dvar Torah came from Yochel Mei Rosh Chodesh. Yochel Mei Rosh Chodesh means, Abigail Markowitz, Yochel Mei Rosh Chodesh, you would think, right? You would think that we should begin Pesach on Rosh Chodesh. Talmud Lomar Bayomahu. Comes the Torah to say Bayomahu. What does Bayomahu mean? You would think you should do it on when you bring the Korban Pesach on the 14th Friday afternoon. No, it comes to teach you Bavur Zeh, only when the matzah and maror in front of you. It's only done when you eat the Korban Pesach with the matzah and maror in front of you, and that is on the 15th at night. Why would we think, right? This is one of the questions that I always go back to at my Pesach Seder. Why would you think that Pesach should begin earlier? And why should it begin specifically on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Yochel Mei Rosh Chodesh. I would have thought that we should begin Pesach on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That would mean Purim ends, I have 2 weeks to clean for Pesach. I think the rabbis, by the women would put in a strong request to push Purim earlier, right? But you could only imagine. You could imagine what would happen. So, but you'd have a 22-day long Pesach. I understand why all the preparation, the craziness would go into. So Yochel Mei Rosh Chodesh. So why is that? What happened on that Rosh Chodesh that was so special, so unique, that we thought we should begin Pesach then? What happened? So this is from the Rabbi Frand Haggadah, giving you all my goodies. This is really also another amazing Haggadah. This one came out, I think, 2019. I think right the year before COVID. I still haven't gone through the whole thing. So he writes the following, quoting the Chikrei Lev, Rabbi Leibel Hyman, who says the following, that we were given our first mitzvah. The Jewish people were given the first mitzvah, which is Kiddush HaChodesh. The fact that we are in control of time. In fact, so much so that we are in control of our time to the extent, first of all, Iber Shana, we saw this year, that like that's based in determination, and that could affect birthdays, that affects anniversaries, it affects when a bar mitzvah boy lanes, right? It's an unbelievable, et cetera, so many things. To the extent that the Medrash says that the angels asked the Kaddish Baruch Hu, when is Rosh Hashanah this year? It's Medrash. And he said, Hashem says to the angels, don't ask me. Why ask you me? Go ask the Beis Din. Right? That shows Beis Din, right? That's Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin was in control. No, Beis Din Shalmata. What? Correct. Yeah, these are discussions in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, they had the ability to do many things based on their determination. So why is this? So the answer that we usually go with over here is from the Sforno. And this really was emphasized by Rabbi Soloveitchik in several beautiful essays on this point, where the Rav said, based on the Sforno, that what's the difference between an Eved and a Ben Chorin, Avdas and Cheiras? Is a slave is not in control of his time. right? If a slave is told when they wake up, a slave is told when they eat, a slave is told when they go to sleep, a slave is told when they need to take breaks and go back inside, they are not in control of any time. Ben Chorin, someone that's a Barcheiros, they're in control of their time. They make their own schedule, right? They make their own schedule, which is a challenge and a responsibility. That could mean you could be less productive as a Ben Chorin than you are as a slave. As a slave, come on, right? You start your own business. I'm not saying someone who works for somebody else is a slave, but they're telling you what to do on their dime. Now, if you're on your dime, it's all up to you. It's all, the ball is in your court. That's like you tell, you know, boys and girls who daven 6 days a week in yeshiva, Sunday, it's up to you. Again, that's a parenting decision. How do you do that? You throw them out of bed. You encourage them to put on their alarm clock. That eventually you have to train them where they're going to have to do this on their own at a certain point. We're not going to talk about this for the detail, but I think this is an important discussion. They're Ben Chorin for that one day. And how do you, as parents, right, how do we educate them to, you want them to do it on their own? Because if it's not going to happen at 15, at 18, eventually they're going to be on their own. And that's going to, so that's a classic go-to answer that's given over here. The Chikrei Lev says something different, which I think is very, very beautiful. He says that Hashem wanted to change the mindset of the Jewish people over here. For over two centuries, they were slaves, and as slaves, absolutely powerless. They have no self-determination at all. Their goals, their vision, their plan, it's not up to them. Somebody else. It's their master's plan. The Ibn Ezra writes, there is nothing harder for a person than to be under the control of a person just like him. Slavery is demoralizing, and it makes a person lose his sense of dignity. Hashem was about to release Bnei Yisrael from slavery. How do you take a nation out of this slave mentality and turn them into a nation that will be worthy of being called the Am HaNifchar within a matter of months? The only way to do that is to give them power, to show them that they are in charge. And that first begins with restoring their dignity, giving them dignity. Right? How important is this, dealing with the elderly, people who are such a force in their lives, and now unfortunately they need the help of other people, and how important this is to restore, and not restore, but give them the dignity they deserve. And it's so hard because they don't feel dignified in so many ways in their lives, because they literally need help from other people, and how challenging that is, and how the mitzvah of tzedakah also has an emphasis and a focus on the dignity of the person that needs the help, and how important that is. They need to be sensitive to this notion. So Yachol Mei Rosh Chodesh, we would have thought that we should begin by Rosh Chodesh. Why? Because that's when the Jewish people got their dignity back. And that's an amazing thought. And the truth, we got their dignity. Hashem started treating us like free people. That's when we got the first mitzvah. And also at the same, the Sefer Chinuch writes something very, very powerful. The Sefer Chinuch writes that we have many, many mitzvahs that are associated with this idea of dignity. That number one, we don't break the, there's an Isser Deraisa to break the bones of the Korban Pesach. Why is that? Because now we're kings. We're not slaves, so we're nobility. Leil HaSeder, we even if we don't feel noble, we need to behave and act noble and dignified, because when you act that way, it gets into your head a little bit, and it's a healthy way to live your life.
Rabbi, who was born on Rosh Chodesh?
Yitzchak Avinu.
It's
Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, though, I think all the Avos might have been born in Rosh Chodesh. Yeah, not, that's Gemara. Yeah.
When it comes to freedom, somebody was a slave. They need a transition. Do things up. If someone was a slave,
yeah,
has to do things a certain way, can't just let them loose totally because they don't know what to do.
100%.
Okay. Same thing with kids. Take kids in a classroom and all of a sudden they loose. They need transition. And say that, especially if you're a slave, you need transition. Slowly but sure.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why you need some time.
I hear what you're saying. You're saying that there needs to be a process.
It has to be a process.
100%.
Go slavery to totally on your own because you don't know what to do. You cannot handle doing it totally. To go from one bingo the next second to three. It doesn't work.
But that's why many struggle. They had a big problem transitioning.
Exactly.
They always had that slave mentality at many points that caused problems for them.
Right. So last thought is a quick thought, and that's from the Chinuch HaGadol by Rabbi Yaakov Bender. We quoted him last week also. Baruch Shomer Haftacha Sol Yisrael. Right. After we say Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Baruch Shomer Haftacha Sol Yisrael. Thank you, Hashem, for keeping your promise to us. So Rabbi Bender says very, very simply, the Baal HaGadah is telling us the secret of being a successful and effective communicator. No one is going to take your word seriously if it's not evident that you yourself do likewise, right? We need to be people that keep our promises. If the Seder is about making an impression, then the surest way of doing that is being a Shomer Haftachos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midah of truth obligates us, right? Communicator, parent, educator, role model, all of the above. It's by being a Shomer Haftacha, and that is the way that it is effective. Okay, just to review what we learned today, we began by discussing Kadesh and why there's no bracha on the Dal Kosos. We discussed several reasons why we break the middle matzah, we went through halachic reasons. We discussed Kriyas Yamsuf, and we discussed the Minchas Chinuch from the Machzor Ritri and what that means about the initiation of Klal Yisrael. We mentioned, we also discussed why no Shalom Aleichem, why maybe we should sing Yesh Chayil and Zmiros at the Seder, Kach Baruch Hu's there, Halach Ma'anya is written in Aramaic, for that reason that Hashem is present at the Seder itself. We discussed why it's called Leil HaSeder, also three answers as to why it's called Leil HaSeder. And then we discussed Yochel Rosh Chodesh. Why would we think we should begin Pesach on Rosh Chodesh, the dignity of man? And then the last thought was from the Chinuch HaGadah about Baruch Shomer Haftacha Sol Yisrael, and why is that so important in the emphasis on the promise that Hashem made? Wish everybody a wonderful day.
Rabbi.
And Hatzlacha in everyone's preparation. Yes.
Rabbi.